Hi, everybody. I'm very happy you're here tonight. And I'm just going to give you a brief history of my spiritual journey, and hopefully you'll be encouraged. I've been a member of Lighthouse since the mid-1990s. And my first experience with Lighthouse was with the Life and the Spirit seminar. And I remember on the first day of the seminar, my immediate impression was, wow, this place is really enthusiastic about God. Because I was so impressed how everyone sang loudly and enthusiastically. And after I completed the seminar, my husband told me that my personality changed. He told me I was a lot nicer. And I thought, gee, what was I like before? But the biggest change in me was realizing that Jesus Christ is a person, and he has a very personal love for me. In fact, I came to realize that he is in love with me. So when I look back on my life, what it was like before I knew him personally, I'm so glad I had the good sense to say yes when he knocked on the door of my heart. And I have a feeling he's knocking on your heart too, that otherwise you wouldn't be here. So like I said, I want to give you a brief look at my life before I knew Jesus personally and how I've changed and grown spiritually. I was raised Catholic, but as a teenager and young adult, I didn't practice my faith. And Father Rick talked about this. I prided myself for making people laugh at my dirty and off-color jokes. And all I really cared about was having a good time with my friends with never any thought of God. Everything I did revolved around me, myself, and I. But in the midst of doing all that, I remember always feeling like I had this big void inside of me. And I didn't know what that void was at the time. So I just kept filling it with worldly and selfish things. And I even experimented with transcendental meditation to the tune of a $100 one-time instructional fee. That was back in the 70s. And that didn't really go anywhere, and I didn't explore it much, and I thank God for that. Sometimes the loneliness and the void that I felt would nag at me so much that I would go into church at odd times of the day and just sit there and look at the crucifix. I really didn't know how to pray, but I felt a sense of stability there. Even after I first got married, I was still very lax about practicing my faith, and I would miss Mass on Sunday. But when I did go, it was only because my mother-in-law needed a ride. It wasn't until my kids started attending Catholic grade school when I was drawn back into my Catholic faith. And one day after Mass, I remember looking at the crucifix and saying to Jesus, I want to be close to you, but I don't know how. Not too long after that desperate prayer, a friend invited me to the Life and the Spirit seminar, and that was the beginning of my new life in Christ. And I'm not saying new life in Christ just as a cliche. It definitely was a new life and very life-changing. I realize now the value in setting aside a block of time every day to pray and just be with Jesus. It keeps me centered on him. And my prayer time is something I want to do. It's not something I feel like I have to do. Being faithful to a prayer time every day is crucial because we're never going to get to know God in our spare time. And we can't put God on the back burner and say, I'll get to you later, God. You know, what if he said that to us? What if he said, Rose, I don't have time for you right now. I'll get to you later. Well, if he said that, I would be crushed. And in reality, I would cease to exist. But he doesn't do that. We are on his mind and in his heart always and eternally. Even before we were conceived, we were in the heart and mind of God. Not when we were conceived, but even before we were conceived. Another way to understand God's magnificent love for us is by reading and meditating on Scripture. It helped me change the way I live. Through Lighthouse, I learned that we are all a temple of the Holy Spirit, and His living presence is actually living inside of us, and His gifts work in us and through us. Before I went through this seminar and became part of Lighthouse, I would have been saying, "The Holy Spirit, who is that?" Now I know that He is alive and that we can depend on Him because He is our comforter and our companion. The Holy Spirit helps us realize God's presence in our everyday lives. We all received the Holy Spirit when we were baptized and confirmed, but now we're focusing on the Holy Spirit becoming alive and active in you. So when you are prayed with later in this seminar for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just be open and be a sponge. Let the Holy Spirit move through you and receive His healing love. And through this seminar, you'll also learn a lot about the spiritual gifts, and you'll experience some of them at our praise and worship meetings. And Sister Chris talked about this too. The gift of tongues is one that's kind of peculiar to a lot of people. It's the gift where the Holy Spirit is praying through us in some strange sounds that seem to have no meaning. But St. Paul does talk about this gift in Romans 8. He says, "The Spirit comes to the aid of our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit itself intercedes with inexpressible groanings." So just to give you an example, when I'm praising God at our praise and worship meetings, I can praise Him by saying, "Jesus, I love You, I praise You, I adore You. Thank You for the gift of life. You are my friend, You are my joy and my strength." And that's a beautiful way to love and praise God. But for me, I can only do that for so long, and then I run out of words. And that's why I let the Holy Spirit pray through me, and I praise Him in the gift of tongues. Praying in tongues is a love language between you and God. It's another beautiful way to pray when we don't know how to pray for ourselves and others. And you'll learn more about this gift later in the seminar. There's many other gifts that the Holy Spirit is waiting to bring alive in you, and some of them are wisdom, understanding, word of knowledge, and prophecy. And no one gift is better than the other. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, it says that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are permanent dispositions. They're not just once in a while or occasional. These permanent dispositions make us docile to following the Holy Spirit's promptings. These gifts don't take over or overwhelm us. We're not like a puppet for God without any free will, but they make us docile. That means I'm open to being taught. I'm open to being moved and following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So what do I mean by promptings? It means to move to action. You could say, like, it's a little nudge. The Holy Spirit is nudging you to take action on something. And I can give you an example of that regarding word of knowledge. This happened at a praise and worship meeting quite a while ago. I was at a meeting and we were all sitting quietly, you know, listening for God to speak. And I just kept hearing over and over in my head, "I forgive you." Kept hearing that over and over, and I just felt like, that's not for me, I need to share that. So I just came up to the microphone, I said, "I forgive you," and I sat down. And then after the meeting, a man came up to me and thanked me for saying that. He said that on his way to the meeting that night, he was asking God to forgive him because he felt like he had really hurt someone. So we have to, you know, step out in faith when you feel that nudge. So after being baptized in the Holy Spirit, did all my problems go away? Well, not exactly, but some actually did, because I realized now that in my wrong thinking and my bad choices, I was the one causing the problem. And we all do have problems. We all have something we're dealing with. and sometimes it can seem never-ending and overwhelming. But when you think about it, don't we learn our best lessons during the hardest times in our lives? And don't we grow the most spiritually during the hardest times in our lives? Years ago, I heard a Protestant minister on the radio say something that really stuck with me. He said, "Suffering is the gymnasium for learning how to love." Suffering is the gymnasium for learning how to love. Now that is food for thought. The more intimately we know Him and love Jesus, the more we will trust Him and rise above the suffering, knowing that He's in control. And did you know that we can unite our suffering to Jesus' suffering to console Him and to save souls? He revealed this to St. Faustina. So when I'm going through something really hard, or even just for little annoyances, I'll tell Jesus, "Jesus, this is for you and for souls. Use this trial to help someone else." It's a very powerful way to pray and not to let your suffering go to waste. Father Rick talked about this too. Unfortunately, there are still so many people who think Christianity is all about them. Their mindset is, "I'm following the rules, I go to church on Sunday, I'm nice to people in the grocery store and parking lot, so hopefully I'll make it to heaven." But our lives are worth so much more than just limping around, trying to be good, and following so-called rules. When I look back on my life before I really knew Jesus personally, I was pretty much guilty of that line of thinking and living. Now, every day, I make it a practice to give God my fiat, my yes, and I tell Him, "Jesus, I will live my life as you have given me the license to live it." So I just want to end by saying that Jesus is inviting you to have a fuller life in Him. And He's also a perfect gentleman. He is inviting you. He will not go against your free will. Always remember that God loves you because He created you. He doesn't just tolerate you, He loves you. And the Holy Spirit is anxious to dwell in your heart because your heart is the temple that He Himself created. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has ready for those who love Him. Thank you.